Hey everyone, I'm going to take a look today at Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, a great crowd followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of the heavens, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. So these two healings take place after Jesus has finished delivering the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the ways to understand the Sermon on the Mount is as a fulfillment of Moses' delivery of the law to Israel from Mount Sinai. Jesus is the new, true giver and interpreter of the law. The original law, given at Mount Sinai, was about the good life, what a good, righteous life looks like. Jesus has come declaring the kingdom and saying that now, through him, it is possible to participate, to enter in the kingdom of God. And that, in fact, the kingdom of God is about helping people have a righteousness that is much more than just the general run-of-the-mill righteousness of people not breaking certain rules. It is a righteousness that is active. It is a goodness that is participative because we join in what God is doing to redeem and fix the earth. And as Jesus comes down from the mountain, these two miracles here are the beginning of 10 consecutive miracles that are going to happen in a row. And that, again, when we're thinking biblically, should make us think of a number of things. It should perhaps make us think of the 10 plagues on Egypt, except in this case, rather than plagues and judgment, there's blessing. It should probably also make us think of the 10 rebellions of Israel in the wilderness in the book of Numbers, which again is reversed because we have Jesus bringing blessing instead of judgment for these sins. And so again, Jesus is the true giver of the law. It's his subject matter, and he is now interpreting it authoritatively, but also bringing blessing instead of cursing. Notice in this first scene, we have a man who's a leper. Well, leprosy is dealt with quite a bit in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, in Numbers. And among other things, leprosy made one unable to participate in community life. You were an outsider. You couldn't participate in worship. You couldn't participate in any of that. And it's important to note that for Jesus, there are no outsiders, though there are no outcasts. There's nobody about whom he says, "Ooh, gross, I'm not going to have anything to do with them." He goes out from the holy place. He goes out from heaven and goes to the people that are perceived as the furthest apart to bring them back. I think it's very telling that the man with leprosy says, "If you will," and Jesus says, "I will." This is not a prediction of the future. It's a statement of his desire, of his intention. The man with leprosy says, "If you intend to, you can heal me." And Jesus says, "I intend to. It is my desire." And so Jesus goes and makes the outsider an insider. He, or at least makes it possible for that outsider to become an insider. And again, being a part of the kingdom is Jesus inviting us to do the same, to befriend the outsider and learn to make them an insider. He then moves on to another kind of outsider. The man with leprosy was an outsider because of a skin disorder. This next individual is an outsider because he is a pagan. Actually, there's several things that make him an outsider. Number one, he's a pagan. Number two, he's in a military occupying force. He's the leader of a military occupying force, people oppressing Israel. And here's Jesus blessing him, blessing an enemy, as he's already taught. And this should remind us, I think, of Naaman from the Old Testament, who is also a military leader of a pagan force fighting Israel, and who came to the prophet Elisha to be healed of, leprosy, and was told to go wash in the Jordan seven times, and who at first balked, but eventually was washed and cleansed. But the centurion does Naaman one better, because he says, he sort of gets from the get-go, hey, look, I don't need Jesus to come to my house. I don't need him to do anything spectacular. I don't need him to kiss up to me. If he just gives the word, it will happen. And of course, Jesus recognized this as great faith on the part of this centurion. He understands authority. And because he's submitted to authority and expects others to submit to his authority, he understands that Jesus is under authority and therefore has authority. And Jesus says, I've not found faith anywhere like this in Israel. Again, this is fitting because it's in keeping with the theme of reversals. The humble will be exalted and the exalted will be humbled. And this centurion, he kind of knows his place in the world and understands that Jesus knows his place and therefore has a kind of authority to bring wholeness. Finally, one thing I'll mention is that Jesus doesn't just heal these people, but in Isaiah, it says that he bore our diseases. In that great passage in Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet Isaiah speaks of the work of the Messiah as one who he did an atoning work, but he bore our diseases. In the Old Testament, it was the temple and the temple's system of sacrifices that bore diseases. But of course, Jesus is the new temple, and he is in himself bearing these diseases away. So it's not just that Jesus healed, it's that he bore them himself so that he could bear them away and bring wholeness to him, to us. And so may we, again, learn to follow the one who went to outsiders, whose holiness and goodness intends to bring healing, intends to bring wholeness, intends to restore people to life and bring flourishing. May we follow the one who bore our, not just our iniquities and our sins, but our sicknesses, so that we can be a part of bearing his healing to the nations. Amen.